You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's good to be here. I don't know about you, but it's good to be in the house. One more time. Ain't no guarantee that we're gonna make it next week. But while we're here today, we ought to praise Him. And here's the reason why. Because He's worthy to be praised. I first want to acknowledge and thank our pastor. Pastor Twyman, I am blessed by your presence, by the fact that you call me son. Amen. Every good preacher needs a good father. And indeed, we know that Pastor Twyman, his fruit shows. Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege to stand behind your sacred desk. Indeed, we are participants in his ministry. And so we do not take that lightly or take it for granted. There is a word, and for every situation in our life, there is a word located in the gospel according to Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8, and we want to start with the 11th verse. For the purpose of our text, we're going to look at several verses, but I do not want to strain your patience. Amen. We're going to read a few verses and we will move forward. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 8, starting at the 11th verse. And you should see these words. Then the Pharisees came out and began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. But he sighed deeply in his spirit, and he said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation." And he left them, and getting into the boat, again departed to the other side. Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And I want us to move down to the 21st verse, where Jesus asked a very poignant question. So he said to them, "How is it you do not understand?" You know, Pastor, I've learned over the years in preaching that sometimes the subject comes right out of the text. In fact, all the time. The subject should come out of the text. But for our hearing this afternoon, I want us to consider that question. How is it you do not understand? How is it that you do not understand? Pastor, one of my favorite artists, and I just recently, kind of listened to her catalog, is Nina Simone. In 1964, she wrote a song entitled, "Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood." Listen to the lyrics. She says, "Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood." You know, one of the worst things that can happen to us in this life is to be misunderstood, especially by those who are close to you. Everyone under the sound of my voice at one time or another has experienced being misunderstood. In fact, I read a quote somewhere that says that the greatest distance between two people is a misunderstanding. Yeah, being misunderstood brings about feelings of isolation and a lack of human validation. It can spark loneliness that can make you feel as though that you are adrift by yourself on a deserted island. You're being misunderstood when your best intentions are misunderstood, when you try to do everything you can for somebody, and yet and still they don't understand. Do I have a witness in here? Somebody in here know what I'm talking about? When you do the best you can for your kids, you work hard, you do overtime, and you sacrifice for them, and you provide all that you can, and yet and still, somehow, you're misunderstood. Do I have a witness in here? I tell you that there's nothing more painful in life than being misunderstood. Your motives, your actions are always scrutinized. It seems as though that people would rather use you than understand you. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah, that all the effort that you put in is just simply not appreciated. Although in this life, we're going to be misunderstood. Within every relationship that we engage in, there is one relationship that we should move away from misunderstanding. That relationship that I'm talking about is our relationship to Jesus the Christ. You see, there are circumstances and situations that will occur that we're not going to understand. But I love what the hymn writer says, that we'll understand it better by and by. Do I have a witness in here? How many of you know that if you spend some time with him, that even though you may not be able to understand your circumstance, how many know that he will give you a peace that surpasses all understanding? Yeah. Do you have a track record with him? Because in that track record, we should know some things about him. When we spend time, when we sit down and reflect on how good he is and what he has done for us, in the past. Surely he can do it right now. Doesn't mean that he's going to do it the same way. It doesn't mean that he's going to deliver you out your circumstance in the way that you think he should. But trust me when I tell you, as my brother said, that you need to try God. He will deliver. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. How is it you do not understand? Jesus asked his disciples this question. And I believe in my heart, Pastor, that this question still rings true. How is it that we don't understand? How is it that when tragedy and trials come into our lives that we so quick to abandon what we know about him? Do I have a witness in here? I know I'm not alone, that sometimes when the dark clouds will roll in my life and the tears will fall from my eyes, I sometimes wonder, why, Lord, is this taking place? Why is it happening to me? But when I think back in the recesses of my mind, it gives me a calm in the midst of my storm. Do I have a witness in here? How is it that we do not understand? How is it that we cannot comprehend when the storms of life are raging, that the same God that led us in the storm will be the same God who will lead us out of the storm? Do I have a witness in here? Won't he do it? If he delivered you before, he'll do it again. Yeah. How is it that we don't understand? That's why Solomon encourages us in Proverbs chapter 4, starting at the 5th verse, where he says, get wisdom, get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Do I have a witness in here? Listen, you cannot have wisdom without understanding. They go hand in hand. So in our text today, I want to share with us there are two things, there are two principles that can impact our ability to understanding what God is doing in our lives. In the 8th chapter of Mark, we find Jesus dealing with three types of groups. The first group that he deals with is the multitude. And then he has to deal with the Pharisees and the Sadducees and his disciples. And you know what? All these groups experienced Jesus in a different way. They all did not understand him. At the onset of chapter 8, we read that the multitude was great and Jesus had compassion for them. And to have compassion means to be moved in the inward parts. For them, they had been with him for 3 days and they had no food. Jesus was concerned about them. In fact, in verse 3, he says, and he says that, look, and if I send them away hungry to their own houses, they will faint on the way. Aren't you glad that Jesus, in our most desperate time, at our greatest need, that he is concerned about us? His compassion for our physical as well as our spiritual needs will always make himself available to meet our needs. Listen, don't fool yourself to thinking that it was you that brought you this far. Don't think that it was because of degrees that you have that you made it this far. I wish I had a witness in here. I can remember when I only had one suit hanging up in the closet and barely a pair of shoes, and I was happy to have a hot dog in the refrigerator. But now when I look in my refrigerator, y'all don't hear me in here. Now when I look at my situation, now when I look at my circumstance, I know that it was him who brought me all the way. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. Jeremiah reminds us in Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22, he says, listen, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because why? Because his compassions fail not. Yeah, but there is a theme that's taking place. We see in verse 4 that his disciples answered him and they questioned and said, how can one satisfy these people with bread here in the wilderness? I'm so grateful that Jesus' power is not restrained to geographical location. I'm so thankful that he is all powerful, that he's omnipotent, that he's omnipresent, and he's omniscient. That means that he's all knowing. But what a statement. They failed to recognize who was with them. We know that Mark writes this gospel to a Roman audience where he focuses on Jesus as a servant. He is the servant of the Lord. But not too long ago, they was with Jesus when he fed 5,000. And it was counted as 5,000 men, not really counting the women and children. And at that time, if he was able to provide then surely he could provide right now. What a question. Some of us act like that. Some of us act like those disciples that would question the fact that just because the location changed doesn't mean that he changes. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah, so we see that Jesus performs another miracle. He asked them, how many loaves do you have? They said, we got 7. Jesus commanded the multitude to sit down. Can I tell you something real quick? Sometimes we need to just sit down. Yeah, we need to sit down, and Pastor, you don't mind, do you? We need to shut up. Amen. Amen. Because how can you hear the Lord? How can you see him moving in your life if we're always trying to get in his way and do only what God can do? Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. Jesus again performs this miracle. He took the 7 loaves that they had, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And they had some small fish. He did the same thing with the fish. You know, there's a pattern here that Jesus demonstrates, that whatever we put in his hands, oh, y'all don't hear me in here, whatever that you have that you put in his hands, he can multiply. So we understand that everybody was satisfied. Everybody was full. Everybody was filled. And there was so much that was left over. Isn't that just like our Jesus? That he goes over and beyond what you expect. That he goes well beyond what it is that you can even think or fathom in your mind. Don't you know that when you went to that dealership, you were looking for a Chevy Cruze, but the Lord blessed you with a Cadillac? I'm just the only one. I don't know. No, I don't have a Cadillac. I'm just playing. But here we are at the 11th verse. Jesus gets in the boat, and him and the disciples travel. And as soon as he get out the boat, the Pharisees are there to meet him, to pick an argument, trying to get Jesus to show them a sign. You know, we know that signs in that time was given that to prove or validate that you were sent by God. Such audacity, such lunacy that the Pharisees had that when they asked God to validate God. Do y'all hear me in here? It's right there in the text. They asked God to validate God. That's why Jesus responds the way that he does. When the text says that, listen, that he sighed deeply in his spirit. In other words, I could imagine, Pastor, that he was saying, these fools are getting on my last nerve. Do I have a witness in here? You know, but that shows us something. The first thing that impacts our ability to understand is knowing that it is impossible to see the power of Christ if you don't know the person of Christ. Yeah. It's impossible to see the power of him if you don't know him. Do I have a witness in here? In fact, Jesus continues on, and you can line up the 8th chapter of Mark with the 16th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus just calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, listen, you are a wicked and adulterous generation. Jesus responds to the Pharisees and Sadducees and informs them that there will be no sign given. But in Matthew, he goes on and says that, listen, no sign shall be given to it except to the prophet Jonah. We know that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in a great fish. But Jesus was likening Jonah's experience to his own death, burial, and resurrection. Do I have a witness in here? The only sign that the Pharisees that would be available them to see is when he got up on that third day. Do I have a witness in here? How is it that you don't understand stems from our perspective on who Jesus Christ is to us? It's personal. Nobody, I can't climb on grandma's faith. I got to be able to stand on my own. I got to know him for myself. And trust me when I tell you, there will be some experiences that take place in this life that you will get to know him. Anybody ever had to cry in the midnight hour? Anybody had their back against the wall? And when there was no way out, he delivered. Do I have a witness in here? Yeah. He is our Lord and our Savior. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. He promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Yeah. Depending on how you answer the question of who Jesus is will determine your ability to understand. Do I have a witness? That's why I love hanging around our seasoned citizens. Because they've been through some experiences that they can share. You know, they may not have the formal education that we have, but they made a lot of sense, didn't it? They said that he could be bread when you're hungry. He could be water when you're thirsty. He could be a bridge over troubled waters. Do anybody know who I'm talking about? That if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side. Not only do we need to know that what impacts our ability to understand is knowing that it is impossible for us to see the power of Christ if we don't know the person of Christ. But then here's the second thing. The second thing that impacts our ability to understand is when we try to make sense of our situation based on what we don't have. Yeah. I want to share it one more time. When we try to make sense of our situation based on what we don't have. Look at verse 14. The disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. So Jesus, he charged them by saying, listen, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we have no bread. You know, a lot of times when we face the circumstances of this life, we are always quick to look at what we don't have. Just like these disciples. They were focused on having just one loaf of bread, but not realizing that the bread of life was with them. How many times do we act like the disciples? We act like because our money gets a little funny that we won't be able to make it. We act as though because we may be short on supply that God cannot provide. Listen, nothing is limited about God's provision in our lives. He will provide. I wish I had a witness in here. Yeah. He will provide. I'm here to tell you that
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.